I'm Ben.
I'm Barry.
And this is Two Beers and a Microphone.
G'day.
You always fuck that part up.
Oh.
Now you fucked that part up.
I fucked that part up.
I have been vanquished. Or something.
You've been something. Well, I'll tell you what. After a couple of shots in the ass and certainly a blow to the head, they have reconstituted me from zombiedom.
Excellent.
So it's a darn good thing too, because I didn't know that I wanted to be in that state for very long.
Well, no, I'm really glad because, my fear of zombies and distrust, I wouldn't have been able to do this show with you, and then there would be no fun for
well,
me.
Well, here's the thing. I was so, last week's show was so awesome, man. And what I found was that those two ladies that you had on, which, of course, their names are
Rachel and Kathleen.
Yes, Rachel and Kathleen. I just, a personal shout out, you know, you guys just did a fantastic job. What a fantastic job they
did. I know.
Did.
I'm very proud of my zombie hunting friends.
They were really cool. They were and funny ladies.
That's right.
Really great.
Yeah. And, you know, the really sad thing about last week's episode was not the content or the company I was keeping. It was about 20 minutes into the broadcast, and I realized, oh, I haven't cracked into a beer, and I haven't offered a beer to my guest. So it was a completely dry show.
Oh, man. You know, as it should be. Because when you're talking about brains, man, you don't want to be loaded.
That's true. It's really going to lower my percentage of survival.
So you seriously, you just left, you know, it was two beers and a microphone, but they didn't even go so much as an offer.
Well, when they first walked in, I said, you know, help yourself, make yourself at home, etc. Here are the studios. And they said, oh, no, we're all set. And so we're fine. And got the call from you that you were on the zombiedom.
I was zombied that particular day.
And so we were like, well, let's just get recording because Benji is obviously, you know, either having a zombie attack or gas. And that was it. Yeah. And by the way, that, you know, when I was posting our episodes leading up to the zombie episode.
Yes,
and you were doing your zombie / breeding cow impression. It was dark. It was late.
Mm.
And I really, it caused me to have a little
panic
distress.
Attack?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, so you scare the shit out of me. You know, your facial hair scares the shit out of me.
You know, I could drop my pants right now and just complete the job.
Yeah, but I think we're okay. Yeah, I mean...
You think you'll live without that?
Well, I don't want to see hermaphroditic Benji.
Mm.
No, it's, you know...
It's not as bad as you think. It's an acquired taste, really.
That's what she said.
Oh, my God, man. I've had such a week.
Well, tell me about it.
Oh, so I'm driving.
Okay.
All right. On 89. And for all of you, you know, people out there, all you BMers who are thinking to yourself, all right, 89 in Vermont, I've been on that.
Yeah.
You know, it's different in southern Vermont versus northern Vermont.
Well, yeah.
Because southern Vermont,
sucks.
You actually have, you know, people who live around, you know, who live off of 89, they're actually going to be pretty decent folk. And the mystery, the majesty of the Green Mountains kind of draws out-of-staters in, and they're pretty nice on the road. But once you start getting closer to northern Vermont, you start getting into, you know, the Chittenden County folk.
Okay, sure.
And they're a different breed.
They are.
They're a different breed. Not that they're any better or worse than the rest of us. They're just different.
I'm not sure where you're going with this,
well,
but I'm interested.
Well, this son of a bitch cut me off.
Really?
He cut me off, and then he slowed way the hell down. And I think to myself, I'm like, you know, I'm going 65 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I know, because I check, because I do the fucking speed limit, because that's what I want to do. Not because I have to.
Yeah.
Because that's what I want to do. I'm not in a rush to get to work. I don't want, you know, I'm not like, you know, I have to drive 80, 85 to work. Fuck that. If I have to go to work, I'm going to take my goddamn time.
That's right. You know, I used to when I was younger, and yeah. I attribute this to having children. And I don't know what your situation is, but I know that with mine, as I had children, I became a slower driver. As a 25-year-old driver going to work, on the interstate, I would often go 80 miles an hour. Because
I was
exerting my, I think, my youthful, you know, my need for speed, if you will. As I've had children, I've now decreased. I set it at 65. Occasionally, I might hit 70 if there's some
dire emergency.
Yeah. Now, that was then. Now that I work in Chittenden County, mm-hmm. and I commute from Washington to Chittenden County.
Don't tell me. Were you that asshole?
No.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm the asshole, but for a different reason. So when I'm on my way to work,
yeah.
I set it at 55 miles an hour.
Do you really?
And I forget it.
Oh, look and at I, you.
And
you're
I,
Mr.
You know,
55, huh?
Mr. 55. I've become officially become my mother.
Well, there you go, man. That's good for you. You good know, for you gas mileage. 55. Here's the thing. I say if you're going to work in the morning commute.
Yeah.
You're going to do 55? Yeah. I respect that.
Thank you.
You know? On the weekends, you going someplace, you doing 55? I might drive you off the road. I'm just saying there's a difference. There's a difference. I can respect somebody who wants to take their time getting to work. Because once you're at work, man, you're in the zone and whatever.
Yeah.
But if you want to take time, you want to enjoy the Vermont landscape or whatever, fine. Here's the thing. I was doing 65.
There's no need to be
off. There's no need to be a dick. No. And yet, this guy rode my ass like I'm going to speed up for him, right? Like he's got some sort of special card in his fucking back pocket.
Yeah.
That's like, you should speed up for me. You know, fuck that. I'm going to go the speed I'm going to go. You don't like that tough shit? Get off the fucking road.
Now, this is a good question to ask, and this is fun for our listeners to play along at home, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you are a driver,
yeah.
and we all are, what if you had the ability to add a device to your car? What device would you add? Would you add, perhaps, the ability to fly? Would you add the ability to go super speeds, or would you add the ability to add like weaponry to your car? Because I've often thought about I'd like to have a flying car. That would be fun. I'd like to be able
like
to go
that Back to the Future shit.
Kind of, yeah. But really, what I ultimately long for is some type of a nuclear device that I can blast people into oblivion with.
You would like a jet engine based upon nuclear fallout. You want a dirty bomb on demand.
I just want to kill these people as they do shit like, you know, the person that's on your
that
ass.
That fucker rode my ass, and then he got into the passing lane. He passed me, like, but just barely, like almost missing my front end, and then he slowed way the hell down. I haven't a clue.
The other day, I was traveling on the Barry Montpelier Road, and it was dark. Anyone that doesn't know, Barry Montpelier Road is for about a mile stretch is a four-lane highway. There's two lanes on each way going north and south, and because it's basically a very commercial area. And I was in the, well, I guess would be considered the center lane of the two. And yeah, I was driving along, and this guy comes along in what would be the driving lane normally on the right. He passed me on the right. This cuts right in front of me just to go to Price Chopper. And I was like, you fucking asshole. I mean, first off,
the man needs his groceries, all right?
But it's not even a decent store. Price Chopper is the bottom fucking rung when it comes to grocery stores in the state of Vermont. You have, now I'm probably
you're rank ordering him. All right.
Now, in our area.
Do the top two, should they be giving us money?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. You're going to name them. So. Like, you're going to be endorsing. They should give us some money. I'm just showing
my them. My number one store is Hannaford.
Is that right?
And then I go down next to Shaw's, and then if I have to, I go to Price Chopper.
You don't do like a Whole Food or Co-op thing?
Well, I do like the Co-op. I've come around a bit on the Co-op, but unfortunately, I just can't find the fruit guy. I'm too frugal to shop there. I mean, the food is really good, but I find the price points are much higher, so I have to split the difference and go to, say, a Hannaford.
So you're a fucker who wants, like, you know, you want a fucking flying car, you want a dirty bomb on demand, but you don't want to pay a lot for chicken. Is that about sum it up for you?
That sounds pretty... Well, it's also the smell. Have you ever been to a... I'm assuming you've been to a co-op.
I've been to a co-op or two, yeah. So now Whole Foods or a co-op. Yeah, sure.
When you walk into a co-op, isn't there... There's a smell.
There's a smell.
It's not a bad smell. It's not a good
smell. The smell of bulk food. It's true.
Is that what it is?
It gives off a fucking smell, yeah.
At first, when I went in there the first time, I said, smells like jasmine douche.
Jasmine douche.
But then after your girlfriend was around
my girlfriend does not douche with jasmine.
Well, I think that was what we saffron.
It was saffron. Okay. Thank you. That's different. That's a completely
different
spice.
So the smell of the co-op is not a saffron douche, nor a jasmine douche, is what you're telling me.
I'm amazed. After 2 weeks of being on hiatus here, being a zombie, the one thing you remember about all our conversations is that my girlfriend's got a saffron smelling snatch, man. That's weird. Sorry. It's a little weird, isn't it?
I guess I've heard tale that there is now a calendar out that is, I got this from another podcast I listened to. They were talking about this. It's a 12-month calendar, and it's titled something along the lines, like a snowflakes, no two are alike. And it is it is of pictures of female vaginas.
Vaginas, just an array of vagina.
And I think it might be like a tight shot, too, so to speak. I think it's a tight shot. And it's like, I don't know if I would be comfortable having that hanging up when mom and dad come by or the Jehovah's Witness.
I love women's bodies. Don't get me wrong. I am as heterosexual as they come.
Sure.
But when I think of a woman's body, man, I'm thinking of her tits.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm thinking of. Primarily, when I'm thinking of a naked woman, I'm thinking about her bare naked chest.
Yeah.
I am not thinking about her vagina, which frankly, like, I get it, you know, like...
It looks like miscut deli meat.
Wow. You know, I would not have described it that way. As a matter of fact, I don't know how I would have described it, but just not that way.
It's like, it's as if Helen Keller took a butter knife to carve a roast beef.
Man, you will not stop unless you don't get action for a while, huh? It's like, it's a lonely road, but you're driving fast. 55 all the way, brother.
That's what I think about the whole way there. How can I offend as many people in one sentence or one joke?
Let's try to offend half the population, you know? But you know what? Seriously, though. What you're offending mostly at this point are Vermont and Canadian bitches, and that's okay. That's all right. They don't mind that. They're a hardy women. And they, you know, they go through Vermont winters and everything, and they don't mind Barry's view of their vagina. And I say vagina because I feel vagina can also be plural. You can have a vagina or many vagina.
Well, of course. Sure.
It's like having one geese or many geese.
A flock of geese. A flock of vagina.
You can have one geese, right?
That'll be my the title.
What do you call one geese? You call them geese, right?
A goose.
No. No. That's a goose. It's different.
A goose is different than a geese?
It's like vagina.
Really? Hold on, no. Really.
What would you call a geese's vagina?
It's a Canadian goose, though, isn't it? It's Canadian geese when they're plural.
No. Listen. A Prius, many Priuses, Prii, is it not?
Well, I think if you're going to be facetious, yes. Or, no, yeah, I think so. Yeah. You a Prii would be a flock of Prius.
I can't spell the word facetious, so you can't use that word. It's only words that I can spell.
Isn't it spelled factitious? FACTIOUS.
We're not spelling on the show. This is not a spelling show. This is a beer show. What are you drinking, you
asshole? Oh, that's a good question. It is a Saranac IPA.
There you go.
And I just recently, because I read it, that IPA stands for India Pale Ale.
That's correct.
So my question, it's very hoppy, and so is an IPA typically a very hoppy beer?
Typically it is.
Okay.
It's got kind of a darker taste, though, to it. Darker aroma too, but the thing about an IPA is that it's got a spiciness because of all the hops. So it's not a malty beer really.
No, that's great. It's very refreshing.
But I'll tell you what, I am drinking.
Well, you got more than
something
one.
That's very malty here. I do have. I'm double fisting this week, but generally speaking, when I double fist, I only name one. So I usually name the first one I'm drinking.
Okay, frankly, that's fine.
I don't feel like they should be able to share their spotlight, frankly.
No, probably not.
We've got Peak Organic from
the co-op.
This hails from Portland, Maine, which is different than Portland, Oregon.
It is much different.
Now, here's the interesting thing. Both do the whole Paul Bunyan thing, right?
Really?
Paul Bunyan, the big guy.
I thought Paul Bunyan was like a Minnesota thing.
No.
Really?
No. He hails from Portland. Which no, wait. Who does he? It's not. No. Hold on now.
Are you sure?
I have.
We're going to get. I'm going to get comments.
You're going to get.
Yeah. I'm
not
still,
about the vagina.
I'm still getting critiques about our province and province town.
Really?
Discrepancy. Or my discrepancy, rather.
No, yours. No. Listen, we don't make errors on this show. We don't make
it's
errors.
Like it's actually what we do. We do it intentionally.
We do so that people. Well, I mean, yes, we so do. That, we do
so that people can then feel that they have some interest in the program, and they'll go, "Hey Barry, you know, Provincetown is actually the place where all the homosexuals go to hang out, not Providence."
It's still hanging over your head.
Yeah, well,
and I've long since given. Because here's the thing: there's probably gay people in both, so you actually win.
Yes, you just win. That's true. But you know, I like to be as accurate as possible. See, I'm not like a presidential candidate.
No, you're a speller.
I like to be as accurate.
You're a speller. I get it.
I'm not really a speller.
No.
Thank God for spell check. Holy shit! Can you imagine
a world without spell check? I have found spellers to be, you know, they like accuracy. They enjoy accuracy.
Boy, I don't know. I like to think I'm accurate, and I like to portray that. But really, I usually say and do things without even checking and just hope that my tone of voice is enough to convey its
you and every accuracy. Other guy, dude. You and every other guy.
Oh, no. Clearly, that's your
role. No. We bullshit like the rest of them. We don't fucking know what we're doing. We just hope it. We just live and pray it, and
yeah.
Who knows? Maybe we're right.
Where the hell were we?
I think we were talking about. Well, I have Peak Organic.
Which yes.
So
well, you got the co-op.
Well, here's the thing, Portland, Maine. Did you know? Here's a little interesting tidbit.
Okay.
Portland, Maine has the most amount, percentage wise, has the most amount of baby boomers.
Really.
Oh, yes. Hmm. And than any city in the U.S.
Wow.
So Portland, Maine is filled with baby boomers. You know what that means?
There's a lot of people having sex or had sex back in the day.
Well, I was going to say that means that in about 20 years, that fucking city is going to be a ghost town. And there are going to be like fucking houses and jobs and everything else to have because those people are all fucking retiring.
So when I want to get a place in Portland, I need to wait 20 years.
No, well, you know, if you want it cheap, maybe. But here's the thing. If you are right around the age of, say, 30 to 40.
Sure.
And you want, you know, a nice place of your own near the shore, someplace, you know, kind of dynamic, you know.
Yeah.
I would totally right now go for Portland, Maine. That's the place to be. It's got breweries. It's got nightlife. It's got all kinds of stuff. It's got a shoreline. And on top of all of it, it's got amazing seafood and fucking old people as far as the eye can see. I mean, we're talking like it's going to – the moment you enter town, it's going to smell like hand cream and urine. From the moment you enter town.
Have you been to Portland in a while?
I have.
It's really hip and trendy.
It is. It is. I mean, that's because it's got, you know, a few people who live there that are hip and trendy. The rest are just
see. I love Portland, but yes. But really, I would not want to live in Portland.
Mm.
If I had to choose, I would much rather live in Scarborough or Biddeford.
Is that right?
I would. Yeah. First off, there's not you have the bay, the harbor, if you will, of Portland, but there isn't a lot of like. Even if you're like walking in downtown Portland,
yes,
you're hard pressed to find the ocean, even though it's right there in plain view. It's not easy to see. Like, you got the huge cruise ships and shit. You have to, like, really go 10, 15 miles in either direction. Then you can really find, like, a nice place to just kind of settle out and actually observe the ocean.
Is that right?
Which to me, if you're going to go to Maine, I know they have their fucking pine tree forest and they have their blueberries and they have their bears and their moose and all that shit. Really, to me, Maine should be two states. There should be the interesting Maine and the boring Maine. I mean, any state where well, you could drive all right, 10 man, hours.
It's all comparative, but I don't know. You know, listen, Maine is boring. I grew up part of there. I can say that. Cool, I was a Mainer for part of my life. It's boring.
But the coast is cool.
The coast?
Yeah.
The coast is cool because you decide to do shit. Not because the coast is
it's
there.
It's just, it's the majesty of the rolling the waves. And maybe it's the IPA.
The seagulls.
How? Oh, that's a suck-ass seagull. Sorry.
The baby seals you can club on demand.
You know, there are signs, too. I've never seen one, but there are signs when you walk onto the beach. You know, if you see a seal, do not touch it. I'm like...
Really? Don't touch the seal.
Yeah. And that's usually what my wife tells me at night, to not touch the seal.
Don't touch the seal.
Yeah, so.
Exit only.
Yes.
You know, here's the thing. Would you consider anal sex if she was wearing a strap-on and she lubed up really well and she said, honey, tonight I would like to fuck you in the ass? She would get off too. No, listen. She would get off too.
Okay, I'm listening.
All right?
Okay.
And it's the kind where it's gentle on your ass. It's not a, you know, it's not like a rubber fist.
Okay.
You know, she's not rubber fisting your ass. She's, you know, it's a gentle sort of... calming anal, we'll call it probe.
Okay.
And she's strapped on and she's ready to go, man. She's going to get off fucking you in the ass and you might actually enjoy it too.
Probably not.
Why not? Come on. Why not?
I don't know. It may be the overlying head homo fear.
Really? I'm pretty sure if you're, and this is just me.
Yeah.
If you're heterosexual, there's no way you can be tricked into being homosexual.
I just don't.
Even if you enjoy the anal sex, you can't all of a sudden, I mean, even if you participate, even if you're the one penetrating the woman in the ass, which is also, I think you would agree, just as homosexual an act as getting fucked in the ass.
I don't know. I think
think it's going to turn you homosexual.
See, to me, I think if I were having anal intercourse with my wife, that's not so much homosexual as it is dirty, kinky, that kind of a taboo, if you will.
True.
But I don't – I really – for me, I don't even like to have anyone like tickle around down there.
No.
Which happens. Occasionally, she'll throw a thumb in the mix. And I'm like, whoa, you know, no.
Really?
It's just...
She'll put the thumb right up there, right in the middle of the action.
Like little Jack Horner.
How about that?
Yeah, so...
Put the thumb in the pie.
Yeah, I'm not... It feels uncomfortable.
Really?
So I can't imagine if she doesn't strap on.
Well, you see, the thing about it is, and for all the ladies that are listening to us, first of all, God help you. But second of all, this is true. You can actually get a fella to come on demand by massaging his prostate.
Really?
Oh, yes. Either by putting the thumb in the pie, so to speak.
Okay.
Or, massaging that particular area. Or even just a bit, you know, I guess you can't really say north or south because who knows what position you're in. But towards the ball sack. So the taint.
Okay.
The taint area. But the taint area closer to the anus, you can actually massage the prostate enough to force an ejaculation.
Really?
So if he's on you, he's hot and heavy, and you're thinking to yourself, God, how can this be over quickly? There's your
Stick
ticket.
Stick a thumb in and massage
There's your ticket out the door.
Huh. Wow. Wow. Yeah. You know,
I think you're speechless. I don't think this has ever happened.
A couple things come to mind, Benji.
Yes.
Are you saying that your partner has in fact strapped on in the past and has found this spot, or
not this one?
Book smarts.
Not this one.
Not this one. Okay.
Not this one.
All right.
But here's the thing. Just because just because I don't do it,
yeah,
doesn't mean you shouldn't do what I say.
Okay.
Just generally.
So very fatherly of you, and do as I say, not as I do, which I live
here's,
on that.
Here's the thing. You know, some women are into some things, some women are into other things, yeah. And it's whatever you're particularly into. If you're into something kind of funky, why don't you go ahead and give us a shout out at 2b1memail@gmail.com and let us know what you're into, and we'll share that on air.
Yeah. Maybe I'll share it with myself.
Barry will share it with himself, depending on who you are and what you describe. Dang. You know, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I think homosexual, heterosexual, at least for guys, I think women could be on a sliding scale. And I'll just put that out there. I think
we're talking lubrication now when you say, what do you mean sliding scale?
I think women can be on a sliding scale, but I think in my experience, men are really kind of a coin. You're either homosexual or you're heterosexual. Well, women can kind of, they can kind of.
See, I think women are more okay with exploration without worrying about hang-ups.
Well, it's because they're more on a sliding scale in terms of sexuality. But men, it's very much heads or tails.
Yeah, so to speak.
So to speak.
Tops or bottoms.
So here's the thing. I think that once you recognize that, that gives you the freedom to try just about anything. Because you're not, you know, you're never going to go too far to change your mind on anything. Okay. I think that's what a lot of guys are scared of. They're like, oh my God, I'm suddenly going to become X.
Yeah.
Even though I really want to be Y and I join being Y.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not true. It's actually not going to do much of anything other than maybe give you pleasure or maybe not. You know, and you kind of have to feel around for what feels good.
Sure. So
and hopefully not shit on the bed.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, you know.
So is that a possibility?
Shitting on the bed?
Yeah.
Well, all right. Let's say if you're into anal beads.
Now, you'll have to, I think these are a chain of beads.
Correct.
That start small and progressively get larger, correct?
Yes, absolutely. So anal beads. You initially put the first one or two up in, and then your body takes it up.
Really?
Oh yes, your body will suck it in like a straw, and so it'll put the chain up. So you got to make sure you hold on to the end.
Have a good strong. So why is that?
It's just the way your body's built. You put the first two up, and then your body takes up the rest. So you got to make sure you hold on to the end, because otherwise you're gonna lose the whole chain up in you. And then, you know, during sex or whatever, you pull one out at a time. Now, the problem is if you do the ripcord, you fucking shit on the bed.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That's for men and women.
Wow. Speechless in two episodes. What? So the question.
Food for thought.
So is that how the clown loads the scarves?
That's how the clown. That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Harpo the dirty ass.
That's actually, you know, at the games, if you're not paying attention, they do it one of two ways. They actually put the t-shirt into the cannon and blow the t-shirt out towards the audience.
Right.
Or they take Philip. They just load his ass. And they rip cord it out.
Paul! Papoo!
Who wants a t-shirt? You really got to pay attention.
Let's hope Philip did not have corn the night before.
Well, you really got to pay attention.
Take an eye out with that kind of stuff.
Well, Barry, it's been fun.
It has been fun. We thank you for rejoining us and not being a zombie. And we thank you for listening to our little program here. Again, we have a Facebook page, 2B1M.
Join us on Facebook. Look at this. I announced it 2 weeks ago, and then all of a sudden, boom, we got fucking got it.
I know. Isn't that cool?
That's awesome.
I'm the only one that posts on there, but that's okay.
Good enough.
Peace out.
Peace out.